Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Hello again, everybody.
Hi.
It's time to do that podcast thing.
What is it?
A podcast thing.
Podcast thing.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Does that have anything to do with peas?
Do you want it to?
I mean, I like peas.
Peas are fine.
Yeah, I'm good on peas. Not my favorite vegetable, but it's a fine.
Oh, God, no.
No. It's up there, though.
There's way more creative vegetables.
Yeah. Peas are kind of limiting. Like, you can't do a ton with peas. Like, the thing just includes a pea. Like, you have this with peas in it.
Yeah.
Like, you're not doing something with the pea.
This has been Vegetables with Max.
Yeah. The knife puppy's out.
Knife puppy has arrived.
What up, knife puppy?
Dan sent me a picture of a dog with a giant axe in its mouth.
Wow.
And he just said, knife puppy grew up. And it made me chuckle quite a bit. So, hi, Dan. Why is Dan the only one I ever shot?
Axe dog.
Axe dog. Part axe. All dog.
All dog. Yeah. RoboCop.
RoboDog.
So, what do you got, movie?
Dude, I brought two movies today.
Whoa, me too.
I was like, you know what? Two's the right number.
What a coincidence. We got a whole pod of them.
Yeah, your two and my two. That's a pod.
Yeah.
You best believe it.
Like four films in a pod.
Four films in a pod. Well, I tell you, I'm going to end strong, so.
Three men and a baby.
I don't know how you would end, but I'm ending strong.
I would end strong for your ratings. I end medium for mine. So I think we'll end on a strong Tim. How about that?
All right, then.
I like my Tim strong.
Hey.
Like I like my coffee.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ground up and in the freezer.
Yeah. Yep.
Got it.
All right. I have a movie, 2006, Clerks 2.
Hey, I remember that. I saw that in the theater.
So I watched this in a slightly weird order just for these first two movies because the reason we watched them is because Sam had never seen them and we were going to movies.
Ah.
So I was like, we need to watch at least Clerks and Clerks 2 because movies is the most heavily referenced in Clerks 2.
Sure.
Because they work in a movies.
That's right.
So I was like, let's watch Clerks because it's my favorite, then Clerks 2 because it's the most movie. So it makes, and then from there we watch them in pretty much order.
Okay. Yeah, that adds up.
So we watched this in August of 2020, 1 hour and 37 minutes. It is a comedy directed by, you guessed it, Kevin Smith.
Who, that guy?
That guy.
Hey.
That Kevin Smith.
That guy?
Starring Rosario Dawson, Ethan Suplee, and Trevor Furman.
Mm-hmm.
IMDb movie summary. A calamity at Dante and Randall's shop sends them looking for new horizons, but they ultimately settle for the fast food empire of movies.
It's a good description.
Yeah, it sets up the movie. A lot happens from there, but doesn't spoil anything.
No, it's all set up.
My thoughts on this movie, it's a pretty thoughtful film. Like, it's endearing, but it's also really raunchy at times.
Yeah.
Like, there's some stuff that's even questionable now. Like, this came out in 2006, and now it's cringy. Like, definitely some stuff in there, like some questionable derogatory terms for certain people of a certain race.
Yeah, it's not. It doesn't look good.
They tie it together. I think he handles it well enough that it doesn't make the movie look too bad. Like, it doesn't have a cringe factor, but it's still like you kind of do that. Like, this could go real bad.
Yeah, it's not the greatest feeling. I remember watching that the first time, and I'm like, oh, it's funny, but like...
The payoff where he puts the tape on the back of his shirt later is funny, but I don't know if it's enough to go through that moment.
Because it's a big enough moment in the movie.
Definitely.
It keeps getting called back, I guess. So.
Yeah. I love the Anne Frank, Helen Keller references that they make are really funny. Like, there's some stuff in here that's legitimately very funny.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
I think it's successful. I think that he has something poignant to say about life at that age, and I think he does a nice job of going back to Dante and Randall to kind of explore those thoughts about his life where you question, what have I actually done so far?
Yep. Like, hidden deep meanings.
Yeah, it's nice to see that even Kevin Smith, somebody who, you know what I mean, kind of like put $10,000 on a credit card and prayed and made a success, still questions, have I actually done really anything worthwhile with my life at this point?
Right.
And I think everybody, once you get into your 30s and 40s, starts to kind of question, like, what the hell have I actually done that's worthwhile? Like, what have I added to life and the world?
The answer is nothing. Try harder.
Right, exactly. If you're trying harder, maybe you'll succeed.
You won't, but try harder.
Yeah, why not, right? But I think it's pretty cool. The cast is good. Anderson and O'Halloran fit right back into their old shoes, even though this is, I think, 12 years removed, 94 to 2006, so 12 years later. I think the new cast works really well for it. I think Rosario is always great.
She's great, yeah.
And just everybody does a nice job here. It's a lot of fun to watch. The payoff set piece at the end with the donkey is insane.
It is.
But if you think about it logically, it's not actually that big of a deal. It's a guy, a donkey, and a, like the interior of a made-up restaurant.
Right.
But in like when you're watching, it's like, oh my God. Like it escalates so much. It's very funny and very, very messed up. But I think it's good. I think it is a worthy sequel to the original, though it doesn't come close to touching the original.
No, not even.
IMDb, 7.3 out of 10 for this one.
Okay.
167 critics on Rotten Tomatoes gave this 63%.
All right.
Pretty middling.
I thought that was going to be lower.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. Audience, 250,000 plus, gave it an 84%.
Which that's about what I thought.
Yeah, and I gave this a 7.5 out of 10.
I think that's fair.
It's sure. good. It's, I think if you watch Clerks and Clerks 2, like, that was nice. That was a good way to end it, but I think Clerks is just so much stronger.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah.
And the humor's just a little darker, I think. Real world darker.
Yeah, yeah.
I think. But yeah. I still crack up every time with the Lord of the Rings bit in two. And when the one guy's just like, fuck yeah, like under his breath, that gets me so good every single time.
Perfect. The throwaway line after he does the little walking piece, and then he's walking around, he goes, even the trees fucking walked in those movies. That one gets me, and then the guy's just like, yeah, fucking A.
Yeah, so good. The little things pay off so big.
I love Lord of the Rings, too, and he skewers it perfectly.
As an argument, it's perfect.
Oh, you can't argue it. It's 100% correct.
Yep.
It's great.
Well, I'm going to go to a movie now. I love movies.
Let's go to movie.
Let's go to movie. It's from 2020.
Ooh, let's not go to 2020.
Well, maybe not. Chuck Lawson and the Night of the Invaders.
Interesting.
This movie was made locally.
Oh, really?
Yes, it was.
That's awesome.
February 21st, 2020. It's an hour 25, genre action comedy sci-fi, ooh, directed by Daphne Bonner and Tyler Bonner.
Oh, the Bonners.
The Bonners, starring Matthew Schmid, Jackie Baker, and Chris Berg.
Chris Berg.
Chris Berg. IMDb movie summary. In 2061, two ex-agents and ex-lovers reunite for one last mission. Aliens have landed on Earth, haunted by a dark past. Chuck Lawson and Serena Fox are on it. And then I stopped writing because I kind of spoil everything.
No, I think that's cool. I think that's a good way. You know what I mean? Like, are on it.
They're on it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bullet points. Ryan Young's friend made this movie.
Oh, no shit.
And that's why I watched it.
Oh, that's cool.
He had tweeted out about it. He's like, I did a movie. It'd be great if some people looked at it. Hmm. It would help me. And I was like, what is it, on Prime? You got it. So I watched it.
Oh, that's cool.
That being said, you know.
It's a micro-budget film,
it's a
right?
micro-budget movie, so you know I'm only going to score it so high.
That's
but,
right.
You know. The comedy is spot on. It's super strong. I believe his friend, I don't remember if the director was his friend or one of the writers. I don't remember the correlation to Mr. Ryan Young. He can tell me later.
Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Ryan. You're the best.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Dan. But essentially, he's a stand-up comedian, so I think he's probably the writer. He could be the director. You know how people have to do everything on these movies. The comedy is super strong. I think the flow of the movie could be better.
Right.
It's a very creative micro-budget movie.
That's cool.
And my final bullet point, well, I have two bullet points. This movie is not my jam.
Okay.
But the actors involved and the comedy stylings are.
Nice.
So the fact that this movie doesn't really resonate with me, and I still really want to see more from them,
oh, cool,
I think speaks volumes.
Absolutely.
I think the creativity of the lines, the line delivery is fantastic. It's just basically playing secret agent. It's like they're trying to be James Bondy. They're trying to discover the aliens and sure, what is actually going on. It gets a little weird, and I think it goes some unnecessary places. But I'm not going to crap on this movie. I think it was very well done, especially for this micro budget. And the dialogue, just like how a Clerks would be, where it's like that dialogue carried that movie to superstardom.
Nice.
I think there's something here. I just think this isn't it.
Right, right.
So I was pretty happy to watch it. I was like, oh my God, somebody who I indirectly know, it's like, oh, I don't want to shit on your movie.
Right, right.
But I will if I need to.
Yeah, if it's warranted. Like, you're going to, like, one thing I think we're pretty good about is we're honest. You know what
right,
I mean? Like, we're not going to elevate a movie or poo-poo a movie. It's like, yeah. I mean, how many movies have I admitted? Like, I know this movie sucks, but I love this movie.
God,
we both are guilty of that. Or
sure.
I know a lot of people think this movie's great, but it just doesn't, like, I don't see it, and it doesn't quite work for me.
And that's what you need. That's how you get your averages. That's how things are.
That's why multiple people, it's a subjective genre. Like, you can't just go in and be like, objectively, everyone hates it.
That's right.
That's not really a thing that can happen except for Killer Waves. Go fuck yourself.
Love it. I love it. No, you're right. So that being said, there's not a ton of information as far as scores. IMDb does have a score for it, and it's a 6.3.
Okay.
I do not know the number
of people course.
Involved with that. No Rotten Tomato critic or audience.
Right.
So this makes it tricky. For me, where my highest micro-budget movie is a 6.0, I gave this a 4.
Okay.
And my mother-in-law that watched it with me gave it a 3.
Okay.
I think as a movie, it doesn't quite connect, but the potential for what they started here is huge.
Nice.
And, you know, these guys could easily write the next great comedy. They could be the next Kevin Smith.
That's cool.
Easily.
That's awesome.
So look, the styling is there. So that's please cool. do more. I didn't poo-poo on your movie.
No, no, that's cool. No, I'm definitely intrigued to see, you know, like what works, what doesn't work.
A lot of it works.
That's cool.
Just not in sequential work.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
1995.
Ooh, are we chasing somebody this time?
Not yet.
Dang.
We're ratting them all.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
We're ratting them all.
Stupid Tim.
That's right, Mallrats. I watched this in September of 2020. It is 2 hours and 3 minutes long. It's a comedy, so they tell me. Directed by Kevin Smith. I like Mallrats. Don't worry.
Mallrats is great.
Starring Jason Lee, Jeremy London, and Shannon Doherty, amongst a plethora of other folks. But
so many.
Yeah, there's a lot of overlap in Kevin Smith's go-to crew, so I'll get them like I did with Back to the Future. I'll get them. IMDb summary is this. Both dumped by their girlfriends on the same day, two best friends seek refuge at the local mall.
The Dirt Mall.
The Dirt Mall, at point, yeah. Absolutely. I love that they're there. And at one point, Jeremy London picks up a hat and puts it on, and then he looks at the hat and it says Clerks, and he like drops it like it's like made of like something horrible.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's nice. My thoughts on this movie is it's got really high highs, and like the memorable moments resonate so well. Like the Stan Lee stuff's great.
Yeah.
A lot of Jason Lee stuff, the Stink Palm, Michael Rooker, like so much of this really hits. But there's a lot of stuff in here that's like pretty cliche buddy comedy stuff. That's sure. like not super interesting. And I think I tend to look at it as a little bit more like looking at it this way and coming back at this is probably like my dozenth view of this film.
Yep. I've seen this
since it's come out. I'd say that the things that work very well, but the things that don't work really don't work at all. Like there's a lot missing here, and I can see why it wasn't as successful as Clerks. This was the follow-up to Clerks, if you're not familiar. It works, but it doesn't work as well as it could, especially with like, there's some surprising stuff in here. Like Jason Lee's great. I think Jay and Silent Bob fit pretty well in this movie with like their subplot with LaFours and trying to destroy the stage and stuff. Like the little like blueprints they make for each attempt at it and everything are so fun. But there's a lot of stuff that in here that just feels like everybody comedy, like sex comedy from the 80s.
Sure.
Where it's just kind of like, all right, like it's the nerdy version of that. Like, it's like, okay. I get it, but it feels like it's hampered. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if Smith had a certain, like, parameters that were put on him for his next movie or he just genuinely wrote this, but it just doesn't feel as authentic as Clerks does.
That's fair.
Like, I just don't think it quite lands there. IMDb gives us a 7.1 out of 10.
Okay.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, 47 critics went back to give this 57%, which I think is pretty low. Audience, 100,000 plus, give this 82%.
Okay.
And I'm coming in at a 7 out of 10 on this one.
That's fair, for sure. When it's good, it's so good.
Yes, the good is very good. The bad's like, it's not like it's not horrible or anything. Like the worst that you're going to get is kind of like, I've seen this a lot before.
Right.
And that's fine. It's just not up to what Clerks was.
And this is step one for Jason Lee getting a little farther.
Oh, yes.
Because, I mean, there was a time where he was a very hot commodity.
Yep.
So, well, I'm going to end this. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to end it strong. For you, buddy.
Please. I like a strong Tim.
Strong Tim. I've been working out. I got my sweat on. My veins are popping out of my head. I look like the ultimate warrior. But like 93 warrior, you know, where I wear a weird hat.
Yeah, and he's got like the paint's like chipped mostly away. There's just little dots. Like he knew he was wearing face paint at a point. I don't know when this was, but he was.
Yeah, I stopped caring.
Yeah.
Reservoir Dogs.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
1992. We're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
March 8th is when I watched this. It's an hour 39, which is a short Tarantino.
Oh, a very short Tarantino.
Genre crime drama thriller directed by Quentin Tarantino.
I've heard of him.
Yeah, he's pretty good. I hear there's promise to that kid.
You know?
Starring Harvey Keitel, Tim Roth, Michael Madsen, Steve Buscemi. My goodness.
Like, this cast is outrageous.
Yeah, it's super good.
It is very good.
Your IMDb movie summary. When a simple jewelry heist goes horribly wrong, the surviving criminals begin to suspect that one of them is a police informant.
Mm.
This movie and its back and forth is brilliant.
It's so good.
It's what Tarantino kind of got known for, but for this movie, it works so good, giving you a little piece of this and then going back. And
mm-hmm.
I would say, well, I'll go to my bullet points before I tell you all my bullet points before I read
Please.
Them. This is my favorite Tarantino movie, easily. Mm-hmm. I love the nuanced performances by pretty much everyone.
Yeah.
On the rewatch, I would say Madsen's performance was the strongest. He is so good.
I think Madsen is the best of them at chewing the scenery.
Yeah.
He sits on shit. He's got that fucking cup when he comes in. He touches. He's very tactile. He uses his hands a lot when he speaks, which I think is really interesting.
He also doesn't always look directly at people.
No.
So it's like he's hearing you. He's taking it all in, but like he's not with it. In that respect, and it's so good.
It's awesome. Yeah, it's like he feels, when you see, I mean, I don't care if you haven't seen Reservoir Dogs, I'm spoiling it right now, so spoiler, get ready. When he goes into the scene with the policeman,
yep,
it totally makes sense that he's this level of fucked up, even though the stuff you saw for him before makes you, like, you're kind of endeared to the character.
Right.
Where you're just like, oh, this is cool, Vincent Vega's like a good guy, you know what I mean? Like, this is really neat, and it's just like, no, this is a horrible, horrible psychopath, and it's really cool to see how quick on a dime he turns.
But he's pretty loyal at the same time.
It's fantastic. Yeah, it's very good.
And Buscemi is typically right and the voice of reason, even though he's introduced as the oddball of the group when you first meet all the characters. And he's so perfect to be the oddball.
He is. He's great.
Just the lines he gets and just the way he delivers them.
He's guys look like the Thing.
Yeah. So good. I don't know, how do you rank this on your Tarantino list?
So minor plug for superliminalfilms.com. You can go and listen to our podcast. It's seasonal. How good is that? Yeah. The last season of How Good Is That? No, second to last season. Dan, myself, and a friend of the podcast, Daryl, got on and watched all the Quentin Tarantino movies as it led up to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. We ended as we watched, we went, like, essentially the way the podcast laid out is the last episode was the week after Once Upon a Time in Hollywood premiered, and we saw it premiere weekend, and we reviewed it right after we saw it. We all went to the theater together and watched it, because you were allowed to do that back then.
It was nice.
Yeah, and essentially the conceit of the podcast is we rank something. So in this case, we ranked all of the Quentin Tarantino movies, and this film is also my favorite Quentin Tarantino film.
That's why we get along so much.
Yes, this movie is so freaking good.
I enjoyed that podcast a lot. I just wanted you to plug it.
Yeah, it's good. It's supposedly coming back. So, it's tough with the COVID, but Jared did a nice way to lead it back in, and him and his wife reviewed every season of American Horror Story.
Yes. What an undertaking that
is. Oh my God. The yeoman's effort from both of them. So keep an eye out for more How Good Is That?
Yes. It's coming very shortly.
Let's hope.
Even any day now.
Very, very shortly in Tapes and Scales time.
That's right. That's right. Nanoseconds, really. It's already up in that sense.
But yeah, this movie's so, everybody's great. The music's great. Steven Wright as the the DJ in this the behemoth.
It's so good.
Oh my gosh. It's just everything about this movie is just pitch perfect across the board. It's another good one that feels grimy and lived in without him having to really do that.
Right.
Like the warehouse he filmed in and everything. It's good. It's so smart. It does so much in a little tiny space.
And Keitel, great. We didn't even talk about him.
Keitel, Buscemi. I mean, these are all names you know for a reason.
For sure.
And like Keitel coming back, because Keitel was big in the 70s.
Yes.
You know, with the Scorsese stuff, and we had talked about
Mean Streets
specifically in the podcast.
Taxi Driver, all those.
All those where Keitel was, oh my God, he's so sleazy in Taxi Driver.
Oh my God, yeah. He's awful.
Yeah. And for him to come back in the Tarantino, kind of have a resurgence because of Tarantino is awesome. Yep. It's just, this movie's awesome. It's so good.
So the scores, it's time for scores. And this does have a wife and mother-in-law score as well.
Had they seen it before?
You know, that's a good question. I think the mother-in-law did many moons ago.
Right.
I don't think my wife did.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, she likes her horror, her
thrillers.
True crime movies and shows, and that's it. I want to see a dude get murdered for doing something dumb. That's what my wife
right.
likes. All right, so scores. IMDb gave it an 8.3.
Okay. It's high for them.
It is high for them, because I think their highest rating was 9.3, I think we said.
Yeah.
Rotten Tomato critics, 92% out of 71 critics.
That's all that went back to watch this movie?
That's shocking, right?
Yeah.
The audience, 250,000 plus, 94%.
Okay.
Do you want to guess my score?
God, I'm hoping for like at least a 9. I'm going to go with 9.5.
Okay.
I have faith in you.
It is a 9.5 from me.
Nice.
The wife gave it an 8.5.
Okay.
and the mother-in-law gave it a 9.
Nice.
I mean, I wouldn't say this movie is any of their cup of tea, and they loved it. So.
It's so good.
It speaks volumes.
So good. Love it.
Don't tip your waitresses, everybody.